Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, because of our epistle and gospel lessons, I want to spend some time in the Book of Concord with you. First of all, reading to you from the Apology to the Augsburg Confession on Article 5, Love and Fulfilling the Law. On this topic, the adversaries quote against us, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments. Likewise, it is doers of the law who will be justified," and many other things about the law and works. Before we reply to this, we must first declare what we believe about love and the fulfilling of the law. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts," Jeremiah 31. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law, Romans 3. "If you would enter life, keep the commandments," Matthew 19. "But if we have not love, we gain nothing," 1 Corinthians 13. These and similar sentences testify that we are able to keep the law when we have been justified by faith, and so grow in fulfilling the law more and more by the Spirit. And another quotation here from a later book, The Formula of Concord, this on the third use of the law. "For the explanation and final settlement of this disagreement, we unanimously believe, teach, and confess that people who are truly believing and are truly converted to God, justified Christians, are liberated and made free from the curse of the law," Galatians 3. "Yet they should daily exercise themselves in the law of the Lord, as is written, Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night," Psalm 1. "The law is a mirror in which God's will and what pleases him are exactly portrayed. This mirror should be constantly held up to the believers and be diligently encouraged for them without ceasing." It is important that we as Lutherans understand what our confessions teach about this new obedience. What is the purpose of the law for us as Christians? Justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. If we do not understand and clearly confess that our only hope of salvation is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the grace that he has shed upon us, the faith that he has implanted by the work of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, then the church is nothing. But if we use this as such a crutch that we begin to state and teach that it doesn't matter how you live, then we are doing something wrong with God's word. You have been set free from the bonds of the law. You cannot earn salvation by fulfilling the law, and in reality, that was not what salvation was. Abraham believed in the Messiah who was to come, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And the same is true for us. We do not follow God's law in order to save ourselves, but because we are saved, because we are children of God, we have set free to follow his law. This is what the church had always taught, as clearly evidenced in the Book of Concord. Your faith in Jesus Christ completely transforms the way you live, not because you hope to be saved by following it, but because you are a child of God. And so when we see in Colossians 3, when we see in Matthew 5, the importance of the law still for us as Christians, we should not balk at these words. We have been freed to follow God's will for our lives. And so we look to the scriptures to know what God's will is. In dealing with the relationships that we have, husbands and wives, parents and children, workers and employers, Colossians 3 provides a bit of a table of duties. And so we go through them. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and Father through him. So what does that look like? Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Yes, this was always a part of the law, but we see that it is maintained. We see not only here, but throughout the scriptures, that wives are to submit to their husbands, because God has created and ordered things the way he has. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God. And so wives, submit. God, as the Father, has set the rules, a literal patriarchy. And so his order is best for his creation. When we disfollow and disavow his order, we're not free to do this, not as Christians, but rather we have submitted ourselves to the devil, his disorder, his lies. And so wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. It is fitting in the Lord. Does that mean that the husband has the right to abuse his wife? Absolutely not. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. The love of the husband is like Christ's love for his church. He willingly lays his life down to wash her, to renew her, as we read in Ephesians 5. This is the order. The husband is to submit in all things to Christ, and his wife is to submit to him. When he does this, he provides for her, he protects her, and he leads her. When he does not do this, she is shackled to do the job of both, as we have seen so many times, including in the history of the church. But the wife, who quickly will step up when something is not being done, is shackled not just with what God has laid on her, but with what God had laid on her husband as well. The children submit to her authority and to their fathers. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children must submit to the authorities that God has given because it is God that gives them. That authority stems first and foremost from father and mother, and it flows out into our government and into the church. These are all flowing from what God has ordained. Does that mean that fathers can simply spend all their day yelling and barking at their children? Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. When we have children, we need to look at each of those young boys as future men. These boys, yes, they need to be instructed, because one day, as the Lord might will, they will be husbands. They will be fathers. And what is it that we want to instill in them? What is it that God has given us to instill in them? Yes, there is order. Yes, there is chastisement, as is necessary. But much of it is encouragement. Much of it is teaching. And when we look at our daughters, we look at ones that will be future wives and mothers according to God's holy will. How do we instill being dutiful husbands and wives, or fathers and mothers? Well, we look to the scriptures and we see that God has ordered this as well. So this is the case for us. The relationship between husband and wife, the relationship between parent and child, but also in the way that we work with one another. Bondservants, slaves, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those who are employees, do you work hard and diligently only when your employer's eye is on you? Or do you work diligently because your work is actually to the glory of God? That when you turn in a beautiful work of art, when you're working with your hands or your mind, that you're doing this not just for the paycheck, not just for the money, but that this is actually to give glory to God. Do we live that way in our relationships with one another? Or do we seek first what I get out of it? Jesus speaks also in our gospel lesson about the importance of chastity. Within a marriage, a husband and wife are to be united to each other alone so long as they both shall live. Outside of marriage, chastity is what God has ordained. The marriage bed is reserved only for married people. The man who lusts after a woman who is not his wife, whether it be an actual woman that he knows, whether it be an image on a screen or in a magazine, we need to be reminded that this is not what God has created us for. It is important that we are at a crossroads as a society where the devil has convinced that women should dress more and more provocatively and that men are simply evil. Now, I will admit, I think both are necessary. I think that we should come to an agreement. Women should dress a little bit more wholesome, and men should work harder to guard their eyes and their hearts. Modesty is a beautiful thing, for your body is created only to give glory to God and in the union of your marriage. How important is it that we guard against these images and our lusts? Well, Jesus says, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. This is a plague upon even many young men in the church. And it is important that we submit to Christ, that we acknowledge that our own bodies give glory to God and that of the future spouse. We give thanks to God for that union, and we ask for his strength. And when we fail, we ask for his forgiveness. It is important that we as Christians recognize that God has given us this new obedience, that he has set us free from the bonds of the law so that we are free to follow it to give glory to his name. Each of you has the Holy Spirit living as a part of you, and his will is the will of the Father. Listen to him and rejoice that when we are weak and when we fail, we look to the cross of Christ and cry out for his mercy. And he is merciful and he is forgiveness. The church sings. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.